the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day. And my special co-host today is going to be Major General Sean Mankey, who is Minnesota's Adjutant General. As Minnesota's Adjutant General, General Mankey is the senior leader of the Minnesota National Guard. The Adjutant General is the administrative head of the state's Department of Military Affairs. He is a state employee appointed by the governor of Minnesota for a seven-year term. General Mankey assumed duties as Minnesota's Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard in August 2020. And General Mankey, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, Tom, it's great to be here, and it's great to be at the fair. It's hard to believe a year's already gone by, and it just keeps getting better and better.
Sir, I can't let that pass without stating that 2020 hit us with a pandemic, worldwide pandemic, and ever since that, with the federal and state missions of the Minnesota National Guard, your first year was one of the busiest years ever, as from where I'm sitting watching the Minnesota Air and Army National Guard.
It truly has been a busy year for the Guard, both, as you said, on the federal mission and on the state mission. Everything from the COVID mitigation as far as going into long-term nursing care facilities when their workers became saturated to helping with logistics, rolling out of testing sites, supporting testing sites, and, of course, once we finally got that vaccine, supporting the vaccination effort. I'm proud to say, Tom, we're actually our last soldiers came off of orders about a week last Friday, so we're completely off the COVID mission for right now, and obviously we're watching that on a daily basis. If we're needed again, we'll come back.
General, it seems like on the local issue, on the domestic support here in the state of Minnesota, may have been one of your business busiest years ever because of the pandemic and all the help that you provided all over Minnesota with that, and also the civil unrest. The Guard has been called up locally to assist the Minneapolis Police Department and the State Highway Patrol, and you had one call-up where it was all hands on deck, I think.
Yeah, and that was you know, in wake of the death of George Floyd, total mobilization of the Guard, and we had over 7,300 soldiers and airmen on duty supporting local law enforcement, State Patrol, Minneapolis Police Department, and other organizations, and I couldn't be prouder and happier the way our soldiers and airmen continue to perform with professionalism. You know, not only that, then we were asked to go out and support the inauguration of President Biden, and we sent nearly 800 soldiers and airmen out to D.C., the Capital Region, and by and large, most of them went there on our own organic tactical C-130s up from the 133rd Airlift, and performed magnificently. And then, of course, we were on for Operation Safety Net, several hundred soldiers and airmen supporting the Chauvin trial, and happy to say that, you know, no one has got injured, no one's got hurt, and they've all returned. And, you know, right now we've got a few soldiers that just came off of fires. So we had two UH-60s up in northern Minnesota supporting the Forest Service and the Department of Natural Resources, along with the support personnel up there to do that. Did a phenomenal job. And we still have one Black Hawk and about 10 service members out in the state of Washington that are over there on emergency mutual aid compact for the, of course, the fire crisis that they have out in the western part of the United States. And truly doing it all, and as you said, our federal mission. We have over 1,500 soldiers and airmen deployed around the world supporting what our nation asks us to do.
In general, just in the news this week, there was another hurricane down in New Orleans. And it seems to me every time that happens, you get asked to send some troops that way too.
Yeah, you know, and we have this thing called the Emergency Mutual Aid Compact, and it's a tool where governors can ask other governors and resources for support. And right now we're kind of in a holding pattern. We're monitoring the net, so to say, and rest assured, if we are asked, we can probably support that with our soldiers and airmen as well.
General, I want to ask you two questions about your soldiers and airmen. Number one, they had a really busy year last year. I hope they're doing well, and I know they're resilient. And number two, how do they feel when they get called up for tornadoes and civil unrest and pandemics? And, you know, they're out helping their friends and neighbors and family.
Yeah, you know, and that's one of the benefits of the Minnesota National Guard and all of the National Guard is you know, we live in the community. We serve in the community, as was evidenced more than ever over this past year, 18 months, and we work there. So it's, you know, you're able to do that in your own backyard, and I'm happy to say that our retention numbers are actually up. So that says a barometer tells me that hopefully our soldiers and airmen are happy about what they're doing and feel a sense of purpose. And really what I want is I want our soldiers and airmen to have pride in what they're doing and have a sense of pride in the organizations that they're a part of for the greater good of not only their community, the state of Minnesota, and, of course, our nation.
We're speaking with Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey, on Minnesota Military Radio at the State Fair on Military Appreciation Day. And General, in the last few weeks, we've stood down from our mission in Afghanistan. And I know that you had a large number of troops over in Kuwait. And it's my understanding that since they were in the neighborhood, they spent some time at the Karzai International Airport helping with the withdrawal of those United States citizens, our allies, and of course they got out of there on time, and unfortunately we lost a few, but quite a mission.
Yeah. First and foremost, my heart goes out in deepest sympathy to the families of the 11 Marines we lost, a sailor and the soldier, whose now families are Gold Star families. You know, they've given the ultimate sacrifice. And you know, that was a tense time, I'm sure, for the family members of our, you know, several hundred soldiers who were in Afghanistan at the airport protecting it and providing security. You know, I'm happy to say that they were in Kuwait. They were asked to deploy, to move forward to Karzai International Airport and provide security, which they did. And then they retrograded. I got a call yesterday morning, early our time, with the reassurance that they were all safely back in Kuwait. So I'm sure they operated with professionalism and dignity and respect, and we're fortunate that our soldiers are out of there and glad that they're back, and they're back in Kuwait retrofitting and getting ready to do the next mission, whatever that may be.
In general, we've been on the air with Minnesota Military Radio for almost 11 years, and the one thing that I've seen every day and every time we do the show is it's about training. Getting your soldiers and airmen ready for whatever might come up, whether it's a tornado or going to the Kuwait or going to the Karzai Airport. Whatever happens, comes up, seems like you've got your soldiers and airmen pretty well trained, and they can handle missions.
They do, and you know, I think it's because we're a professional organization, and they're professionals, and we hold our soldiers and airmen accountable, and they want to be on that winning team. I don't think anyone wakes up in the morning and says, hey, I want to screw this up today. They want to do the right thing. And we're consistently amazed by the caliber of our soldiers and airmen and what they do. And really, that breeds a success in a lot of the things that they touch. And that's part of Minnesota. That's part of the people that live here, the culture that lives here, the Midwest work ethic. And we're a reflection of Minnesota, the demographics, and we're lucky to be in such a great state with great people like we have here, because our soldiers and airmen are really a subculture of that, of those people.
In general, we've got an event coming up at the state capitol on Saturday, 9/11, because it's been 20 years since the tragedies of 9/11-2001, and I know you're probably going to be over there. And any thoughts? Those last 20 years they went quickly. They've kind of changed the relationship of your soldiers and airmen because it's no longer one weekend a month and two weeks in the summer.
Yeah, you know, and you said it, Tom. So the National Guard has become an operational reserve, and we're really part of, whether it be the Army or the Air Force plan, we're utilized. We have modern equipment. We modernize at the same pace as the active Army and the active Air Force. And we're expected to do the same missions that they do with training. So it has changed drastically. I think the events in Afghanistan, just in the fact that we had Minnesota National Guard soldiers there, tell you just how close we are to what's going on, the tip of the spear. And I think that's good for our Guard. I think people want to be relevant, and maybe we can afford to slow down a little bit, but we don't want to stop. We certainly want to be relevant to our federal mission, and of course we'll always be for the state mission, but it is, it has changed in the last 20 years, and when you deploy, people can't tell the difference between whether you're an active Army, or a National Guard, or a reserve soldier. They're all the same, and they're expected to do the same thing.
So, sir, active duty, guard, and reserve, you stand shoulder to shoulder and get the mission done, and there's no fall off in the abilities and in the training. You can handle the load, and you've proved it.
Yeah, and I think we've proven that. And I think if you ask, ask the senior leaders in the Army and the Air Force, they will tell you the same thing.
Very good, sir. General, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Minnesota's Governor Tim Walz. Now, this is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're recording today from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day. And my co-host for this show has been Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. And, General, we got a special guest here today. Would you like to introduce him?
Here, and I'm happy to say that we got the Governor Tim Walz here with us today, visiting us with us on Minnesota Radio Hour. Governor, glad to have you.
Well, thanks, General. It's great to be with you. Tom, good to be with you again.
Governor, welcome back to the show. Now, you remember the rules, don't you?
I know. No politics, no swearing.
So you got, and no acronyms, Governor.
No acronyms. That's right. I remember that one. So.
Well, we'll be good with this.
Yeah.
Governor, we've had a couple of really interesting years, but in the last couple of weeks, our military overseas wound down their mission in Afghanistan. The Taliban took over the country a lot quicker than I think anybody ever anticipated. And they were put in a position where they had to evacuate U.S. citizens and the people that worked with us for 20 years over there.
20 years.
And they got out. They were attacked once, and we lost 13. That's really sad. But your views on how that all went, sir?
Well, first of all, I think it was, for all of us, it was a tough week. I think many Americans, I think, were reintroduced that we have been at war for 20 years. These troops have been being deployed there consistently. They've been providing safe haven for Afghans. There's been Afghans that would have never had any opportunity to go to school and live in the peace they have had it not been for Minnesotans and Americans doing that work. I think for many of us, some of the frustrations were, what was the long-range mission in terms of how do we stop the spread of global terrorism? And then during this deployment, where Minnesota, or this redeployment and evacuation out of Kabul, Minnesotans were there. And my concern and General Mankey's concern was, first and foremost, for their safety and the work they did and getting out those allies. As you said, there's numerous Afghans who for 20 years put themselves on the line to help in this mission, both not only to protect their own homeland, but to try and stop this spread of terrorism that we've seen, whether it was from the Taliban or ISIS or some of the ones that appear to be worse now. So the mission now is, and Minnesota's a part of this, of how do we make sure we're accurately screening folks, but making sure we're providing sanctuary for the folks who helped us. And 35 of those folks have already resettled here in Minnesota.
Governor, I think most people in Minnesota know that you served many years in the Minnesota National Guard. And you've been deployed, and I would think for the last few weeks when we had our Minnesota National Guard Army soldiers over in at the Karzai Airport, your heart was probably right there with them.
Yeah, and the one thing I will say, he's right here, but I say it to him when he's with me and I say it when he's not. You may be surprised, Tom, that some of the decisions I made this year have been somewhat debated. one of them that has not been debated is Sean Mankey as our Adjutant General. I rest confident that our troops are trained, they're well-equipped, they're briefed, their leadership is the best in the world. And while, yes, there were some tense moments, General Mankey and his crew and his team were able to provide the comfort, I think, not just to us here in state leadership, but to the families that know. Those of us who've served in the Minnesota National Guard have great confidence that our leadership is well-trained, that the state is committed. You see it here with these organizations. When you come back home, you're going to be well taken care of. And when you're deployed, your family's going to be well taken care of. So there were some tense moments, but I'm glad to say that those troops are all back in Kuwait. They are all accounted for. And we did, as I said earlier this morning, what Minnesotans have done since the Civil War. The nation called, and we responded, and in every single instance performed as well as we could ever ask.
In general, our troops were over in Afghanistan for 20 years. How important were those civilians over there, the Afghans, that served as interpreters and helped us to maneuver our way around that country?
Absolutely instrumental. You know, they're part of the team, and they're out there putting their life on the line every day for our service members so that they can more effectively do what they need to do, so they can communicate, so that they can talk to the influential people that they need to talk to, and really preserve life for the rest of the soldiers and airmen that are over there. So they were part of the team, and that's why we're bringing them back.
And, Governor, in my view, as an old airman from Vietnam, those Afghans that helped us for 20 years that we were able to get out, if they want to come to Minnesota and live here, they've earned the right, haven't they?
They've earned the right. We've seen this happen before. We saw it with Hmong. We saw it with Vietnamese. We've seen it throughout our history that the folks who are allies, and if we keep our end of the bargain with them, we see they come here. And I think there's nothing like someone who has seen what oppression looks like to really value freedom and to be a big part of our state. And again, those groups that have come before, Hmongs being a great example of this, in 40 years they've established themselves in business, in arts, in medicine, and Olympic gold medals now. So,
General Mankey and I are speaking with Governor Tim Walz from the Minnesota State Fair on Minnesota Military Radio. And Governor, the last 2 years, 2020 and 2021, the Minnesota National Guard has been called up to help with the pandemic in all kinds of roles. They were called up to help further on the state mission with some civil unrest. And of course, they're still sending troops all over the world on the federal mission. As you know, Governor, the Minnesota National Guard has the state and the federal mission, where the reserves are just a federal mission.
That's right.
Minnesota Guard put in a lot of time in the last year.
And they have jobs and families. All of those things that they did. I think this year, as I've said, I don't want to diminish it in any way. It clearly was the year of the Guard. We asked the Guard, thinking about these are troops that are trained as, in myself, artillerymen, helicopter pilots, whatever they may be. And we asked them to pick up from their civilian job and go and provide care for our seniors in long-term care facilities when their care providers were out sick with COVID in the early parts of this. There was no vaccine at that time. There was really no understanding early on, and the Guard was there. Then when it came time to do the testing, it was the Guard. When it came time to do the vaccination, it was the Guard. In the midst of all that, we saw some of our nation's greatest civil unrest, and it was our neighbors in the Guard that provided stability, that stopped the burning, that stopped the looting, that had folks down there. And Minnesotans trusted them to be there. All the while, you're exactly right, we're asking them to do their state missions, to do their continuous training in their own MOS, and then to be prepared to deploy, that we were constantly deploying folks throughout this entire mission. Why they themselves were dealing with uncertainty around the pandemic, uncertainty around civil unrest. So it has been amazing in terms of we have never seen the levels of deployments. We've never seen the speed of the deployments. And what I'm glad to say is in the midst of all of that, from our veterans' homes, we saw some of the lowest incidents of COVID deaths of any place in the country, and a lot of that had to do with the service that was being given. And then during the civil unrest, the protection of life that the National Guard, and keep in mind, we had troops shot at in their own cities, and they showed up every single day to do what was right. So I couldn't, and I am grateful. My lead advisor and the leader of our Guard with General Mankey is there every day in briefings, is there every day to get things done. So it has been a remarkable 18 months. And again, I'm going to send a thank you to all these groups that are here supporting the families that have been through this.
Well, Governor, if you can manage it, we could use a little of your magic. Can we have a little quieter year going forward and let the troops catch up a little bit?
Man, let's hope so. Seriously, we do need to, and I worry about that. I serve with 9 other governors, 5 Republicans and 5 Democrats on the Council of Governors, which is the group that works with the Pentagon and the White House on making sure that we're heard. And one of the things that we need to do is we need to make sure we keep our strength up. We need to make sure that we're fully funding our National Guard so that they can do their missions and that we're clear on what we're asking of them.
And, Governor, we just got a couple of minutes left, but I know we're going to have to go out to Washington, D.C. and work with our partners out there to try to get some upgrades to our C-130s at the 133rd Airlift Wing.
Yeah, General Mankey, again, has been good on this, and we've been working with our national partners, and we've got Minnesotans well-placed out there. The Air Force is going through a strategic downsizing of their C-130s, and this is where this Council of Governor things matters, because our C-130s provide not only missions to, like, firefighting and movements inside the state, they provide the national missions that we use when we support our federal partners. And as they start to downgrade, they start to look at units, and we we're concerned with the criteria that they use, because Minnesota has the highest retention rates. We have the highest mission success rates. Unfortunately, sometimes when they look at these things, those actually work against you in some cases. So.
Yeah. And we're partnering on that, and we're, like the governor said, we're going to continue. I mean, that is a priority for me. I know it's a priority for the governor, and we're working that issue. And frankly, we got a lot of work to do, but I think we're in a good spot.
Yeah, I agree.
Governor, we're just about out of time, but this is the 10th year of the Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair, sponsored by USAA. That was quite a ceremony this morning, and it was fun to learn some of the history and all the support that the military get here in Minnesota. And if you look at all these service organizations here, it's heartwarming, isn't it?
It is, and you saw it over there. This is one space where we kind of find out what we have in common, and Americans take it's kind of family fights we can have, but no one else gets to criticize, especially when it comes to the military. And I think that if we've learned anything over these 20 years in Afghanistan, separate the warriors from some of the politics that goes with it and make sure you're caring for them. And these groups that are here, I can't say enough the vision that that they've created. For folks that know, many of these groups started in Minnesota, like Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. That's in every other state now. It started here. And that's because Minnesotans expect that their folks to be cared for.
Governor, speaking of Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, we're going to have Annette Kuiper up to visit with us on the next segment. I'd like to thank you for stopping by and seeing us again on Minnesota Military Radio. And I'll see you on Saturday, 9/11, for a little ceremony at the state capitol.
Sir. Yeah, we want to get a bunch of folks down there. So thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Governor. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. And today's show, we're recording from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day. And my co-host on this show today has been Major General Sean Mankey, Minnesota's Adjutant General. And, General, we've got a new guest sitting here that I think you've spent some quality time with.
I absolutely have, Tom. And I tell you what, this lady does a tremendous amount of work for our soldiers and airmen. And she helps us get support from different businesses and community leaders and in different programs. And we've got with us Miss Annette Kuiper. Who runs our Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. She's our Beyond the Yellow Ribbon lead.
Annette Kuiper, Director of Military Outreach for the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs. And I sometimes refer to her as our Yellow Ribbon Lady, but then she gives me that funny look. But Annette, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Tom.
Annette, we've been doing this show for 11 years, but you've been doing Yellow Ribbon for even longer than that. Can you tell us how it started?
Yeah, it really started within the Minnesota National Guard with an idea to gather community networks, volunteers to help fill the gaps in services and support for our service members, veterans, and military families. Really about 2007, 2008 it started in the city of Farmington, Minnesota.
And your focus when you initially started was cities and towns?
Yeah, it was asking our communities and counties to share their resources and really come together within the community. And then it worked so well, we decided to see how we could partner with companies throughout the state.
And you were involved in that first one and apparently did such a good job that our Adjutant General back then talked you into going to work for the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs and doing this full time.
Yes, Target Corporation, where I worked at the time, became our first Yellow Ribbon company. And I came over to the Minnesota National Guard about 13 years ago.
Does it seem like that long, Annette?
No, it doesn't. We've had wonderful partnerships across the state in that whole 13 years.
Now, you've shifted the focus. I think the last few years we've been focusing on Yellow Ribbon companies.
And, yes.
And tell us, how many Yellow Ribbon networks are there? How many Yellow Ribbon companies? There's a lot. You must have burned up a couple of cars driving around the state.
Oh, yeah. We have 82 Yellow Ribbon community and county networks in over 266 cities across the state. And in a couple weeks, we'll be proclaiming our 80th Yellow Ribbon company, which is Donaldson Filtration Systems in Bloomington. So throughout today, anyone who's attending the fair today are probably seeing many of our Yellow Ribbon companies who are helping us throughout the day, about 200 volunteers today to help make today successful.
And Annette, we've brought on many of those companies on Minnesota Military Radio so that we can introduce them. But we kind of figured out in the process that this is a small community. These Yellow Ribbon companies all know each other, and they know people in there, and you bring them together a couple times a year just so they can network and exchange best practices.
Yeah, our Yellow Ribbon Company conferences in spring and the fall help us really share those best practices, help the new companies get on board, and hire our service members and our military spouses and our veterans. So it's a great camaraderie, and we're even getting to the point where they're starting to share resumes if they have a good military candidate.
General, it's got to be heartwarming for you to know that you've got all of those communities all over Minnesota and all of these companies out there supporting your troops and their families.
It truly is, Tom. And the thing that, you know, the thing that one of the things that I'm very proud of is the fact that a lot of these organizations, they want to do something. You know, we're continuing deploying soldiers. We just talked about all the soldiers and airmen we have doing state active duty, and they always ask, hey, what can I do to do my part? And what it helps us be connected with the community, but it also gives them an opportunity to funnel something, and that helps them funnel that energy and what they can do, which benefits our soldiers and airmen the best.
And Annette, they all want to know, what can we do to help?
Yes, absolutely. Just recently with our state active duty, we were sending out wish list items to all of our Yellow Ribbon networks, and they were filling them within 24 hours, and we were getting things to our troops who were out on state active duty.
And we've got one Yellow Ribbon network that is pretty good at sending stuff overseas no matter where. Chuck Haas out at the Hugo Yellow Ribbon, he sent, like he says, like maybe 3 C-130s full of stuff all over the world.
Yeah, Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network has done a wonderful job for many years, and they are really helped showcase their best practices with new communities coming on board.
We're speaking with Annette Kuiper, Director of Military Outreach for the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. And Annette, I understand that earlier today, as part of the Military Appreciation Day at the State Fair, did you have to start a parade of some kind?
Yeah, we were part. Our Yellow Ribbon companies were part of the parade, just highlighting our Yellow Ribbon companies. And we had many employees that walked in the parade today. It was great.
So when we were up here doing things on the stage, you were out there parading around the fairgrounds.
Yep, they were helping us. We had Anderson Windows and Prime Therapeutics, and we're really happy to have those partners on board.
Well, Annette, there's a lot of companies out here at the State Fair selling their products and doing things. And if they wanted to become a Yellow Ribbon company, what's the process?
Well, the process is really asking a company to look at three areas, veteran hiring and recruiting and retaining, military-connected employee support, and military-connected community support, connecting in with our community networks. So it's high regulations that they have to achieve. It takes about 9 months to a year for a company to get their action plan ready for state approval. And once they become a Yellow Ribbon company, we really make a big deal about it. The adjutant general comes out, the governor comes out and approves and proclaims them as a Yellow Ribbon company.
And I went through that process about 11 years ago. But you weren't too hard on me at the time.
Not at that time. We've really matured up our program, Tom.
General, I asked these Yellow Ribbon companies if they had to spend some quality time with Annette in order to become eligible, and they said, "You bet, a lot of quality time."
Yeah, and that's exactly why we have Annette doing this, because she's got the personality where she can really help guide these companies through that. And I would just offer that you know, these companies that want to become a Yellow Ribbon company, and Annette talked about hiring veterans. You know, in the military, we get a lot of training, a lot of technical training. We get a lot of leadership training. And when you hire a veteran, yeah, if they're in the Minnesota Guard or in the Reserve Forces, they're going to be gone doing their military duty. But you're really connected to what they're doing, and you have a sense of what's going on. And I would argue that it's your part to what you can do to help the state of Minnesota and our nation continue to be as great as we are.
And Annette, one of the things we learned early on was another example was 3M. 3M has a military support network, and if they have employees that are deployed overseas or called up to state active duty, they're really busy helping their families within the 3M company.
Absolutely. They have developed processes to help with yard work, even child care, bringing food. Many of our Yellow Ribbon companies have taken their processes from 3M. They've done a great job.
So, Annette, we just got a few minutes left. What are the future goals for your team in continuing to build the Yellow Ribbon networks?
So recently we formed the strategic outreach team with an organization called Building Healthy Military Communities, which is a Department of Defense organization. And we've also had the Adjutant General has allowed us to hire a couple more people to help support our community leaders across the state. We have Yellow Ribbon Regional Outreach Coordinators that are helping us across the state, and we're going to hire a couple more of those to help us really support the volunteer leaders in their community.
So you're going to keep on going full speed.
Keep on going full speed.
Very good, Annette. General?
And I would say it's our people are really our most important asset. And, you know, Annette and the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network help us with that people, make them feel valued, and make them, you know, help us take care of our people.
Yeah, and General, one of the things that we've learned over the years is Annette and the Military Radio Show, we've been able to pull people together, put MACV over with the Veteran Service Organizations, pull everybody in. It's got to be heartwarming for you to know that we've got all these veterans organizations. We're looking out here on Military Appreciation Day at the fair. We've got the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. You got the Yellow Ribbon Communities. I think General Minnesota's out in front once again, helping take care of your families while your troops are out working and deployed.
And I think you're right. And I think that, you know, what I would like to say is if you think you need some help, there's probably an organization, a resource, whether it be MACV or Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network or Disabled American Veterans, something. There is resources there to help you and provide assistance. And it's a benefit, you know, as a veteran that you've earned.
In general, some of your troops are sometimes reluctant to ask for help, but there's no shame in asking for help.
There's absolutely no shame in asking for help. And frankly, you know, these services are here. I would encourage you to use them because that's what they're there, and that's they're there for you to use.
And Annette, one last question for you. If there's listeners out there or companies that want to become Yellow Ribbon, how do they get a hold of you? What's the best way?
Our website, www.btyr.org. will help get them to their nearest Yellow Ribbon Network. They can volunteer, or if they're a company, they can get a hold of me through their website, and we'll help them become a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon company.
BTYR stands for Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and you can get a hold of the Yellow Ribbon lady, and she'll get you under her control, and we'll get you signed up, and you can get to work.
All set. We'll get them all set up.
Annette, great to see you out here at the fair again. Thanks for joining us. And General, when we come back, we're going to meet the guy at the State Fair that helped put together Military Appreciation Day. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're recording live from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day. And in a moment, we're going to meet the Minnesota State Fair's general manager. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
More than 500,000 Americans have been captured and turned as prisoners of war since the American Revolution. Prisoners of war have bravely endured the loss of the very freedom they have fought to defend at the hands of their captors. We take time to remember and pay respect to the prisoners of war who, through circumstances of war beyond their control, have been held captive by enemy forces. They have endured one of the greatest challenges one can face, the loss of personal liberty. Let us vow never to forget the sacrifices of our prisoners of war and their families have made for our freedom. Their courageous efforts have helped build the strong foundation we have today, which continues to drive us forward.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said, we're recording today from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day, and my co-host today is Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. And General, our guest joining us now is Jerry Hammer, General Manager of the Minnesota State Fair. And he had a lot to do with Military Appreciation Day.
Hey, Jerry, hey, I just want to say thank you first and foremost as we start today. What a great event, and I tell you, not just for the National Guard and all the service members of Minnesota, but the retirees and everyone who we try to recognize different themes every year. And you've truly done a great job with this, and we appreciate it, and what a great day and to honor our veterans and our service members.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks to all of you for your service, for what you've done, for service of all military veterans. I don't know that you could ever really understand precisely what that is unless you've been there. And my dad was a World War II vet, U.S. Army, 4th Infantry Division, D-Day guy, went ashore at Utah Beach. Fought his way through Normandy, some of the towns you mentioned before, General St. Mary Glaze and also St. Lo. He would hear those names and twitch a little bit all the time, you know, after experiencing all of that. Hedgerows in Normandy, first into Paris, not the newsreels. That was 2 days later. When he went through Paris, it was fierce fighting. And across France, across the Siegfried Line, and wound up in the Hurtgen Forest, which was some of the most brutal conditions anywhere. And like most World War II vets, he'd talk about it very little. But when he did, you listen very carefully. And when I got a little older, I could really appreciate, again, never, you couldn't really understand it unless you were there, but it had such a powerful impact on me, what he did as a young man. He won a Bronze Star. He would have had a Silver Star, but the sergeant that had the paperwork was killed in action, and And I try to ask him about it a few times, and what exactly was it? And he'd reply with, "I did some stuff," and that's all he said. But like many World War II vets, like many veterans of any conflict at all, a little reluctant to go into details. But again, to try to really understand what that was like for him, and what that's like for all of our service people, regardless of when or where they served. It's had a profound impact on me. Once I began to understand what those young men went through in World War II, and that you can apply that to all service before and since then. It's remarkable what our military does.
Now, Jerry, you started working out here while you were in high school, and most of your adult life has been spent at the Minnesota State Fair, and it's changed a lot over the years, but I understand from that ceremony this morning up at the Liney Lodge that about 10 years ago or so, there was a phone call and an idea about the Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair. Can you tell us where'd that come from? How'd that happen?
Well, germs of ideas turn into things that wind up really remarkable, and it's hard to believe it's 10 years already. You know that seems like 4 or 5, then it's 10, and that's exactly the case here. But it came from as a combination of things. We have a veterans garden on the south side of the Agriculture Horticulture Building, and it's to honor all military veterans from Minnesota, regardless of when they served. And we were talking with Gold Star moms, and there is a plaque there now for Gold Star, but then Lieutenant Melanie Nelson, now Major Melanie Nelson, and she just reminded me, soon to be just Melanie.
She retired this afternoon.
Retired this afternoon, yeah, exactly. But she was a real driver on the part of the Minnesota National Guard. And then along with the work we've done, you know, how can you possibly recognize the service of the individuals that are in the military? And I really don't know that there's an adequate way, but for any of us to do it, but we're doing our best. And Melanie's, Lieutenant Melanie's, now Major Melanie, now Melanie's, her work with Gold Star and Gold Star Moms, it just led to, then you start connecting all these dots and seeing a much bigger picture and saying, you know what, we need to do this right. We need to recognize our veterans and all who have served in the military.
Well, Jerry, I was going to ask you how your guests at the fair have taken to it, but we heard the story this morning that you were expecting a few hundred of my fellow Vietnam veterans out here a few years ago, and thousands showed up.
That was there are many moments that make up fairs, and there are very special moments that make up Military Appreciation Day, but that one really stands out. It was incredible. Yes, we were expecting, well, you don't know who to expect exactly. Hundreds, wound up with thousands of Vietnam vets. And I will never forget this. My dad was still with us at the time. He was sitting on a bench with a Vietnam vet. And you know how Vietnam vets revered the World War II guys, of course. So they're talking, and I turned around in the street by the band shell, all the way from the front gate at Midway Parkway, Dan Patch, all the way past the band shell and around the corner was filled with military vets from Vietnam. And one of the guys from the current National Guard was trying to organize them, and he was standing on a chair with a bullhorn. And, okay, well, now I'll pay attention. We're going to line up. And it was, you ain't telling. You know, it was just, and all, you know, nothing really too profane, but it was pretty clear.
My fellow veterans were acting
Vietnam
up.
Fellow Vietnam vets, yes, yeah. And he just laughed, and he said, yep, you are Nam guys, all right. But then the whole group moved from at the extreme east edge of the fairgrounds down to where we are now at the grandstand. It's about a quarter mile or so, and all along the route, people were cheering, clapping. There was laughter. There was a lot of tears, and it was one of the most touching moments. I get goosebumps right now even thinking about it. To welcome home Vietnam vets that didn't get quite the welcome that maybe other veterans did.
Didn't get any. It was healing that day. I was here, and thank you for doing that. In general, Military Appreciation Day at State Fair. A lot of things have changed in the 50 years since I came home, and things are better for you and your troops and their families.
Yeah, and you know what, we sincerely appreciate it. You know, and we set a culture in Minnesota, and Jerry, you're a big part of this here at the State Fair. But it's a world-class program. You know, you've led from the front in this, and you know, evidence today, myself circulating around the fairgrounds and just talking to people, and sincerely appreciation for what veterans and service members do, and you know, and I appreciate your effort to, hey, you know, you give them a little few bucks off their admission, they come to the fair, and you appreciate them. We put on a nice service or nice program this morning, and I appreciate it, you know, and you're part of it, but you know, the citizens of Minnesota are really part of it, and it's, you know, truly we feel welcome here. You know, and the governor said it earlier, one of the most important things to me is we want to have the trust of the Minnesota public, the American public, and we can't, whatever we do, we got to be careful we don't do anything that's going to violate that trust, because if we do, we'll never get it back, and then we won't have the appreciation that we do, that you give us. You know, there's plenty of organizations, all the organizations around here today, and of course we got the Minnesota Military Appreciation Fund, the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, and it's just world class, and we're honored to be recipients of that, but you know, it's just the great people of Minnesota that do it for us.
Jerry, we're out of time. I want to thank you for joining us today, and thanks so much for putting on Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair.
Well, thank you all very much. Thank you. The thanks all go to you, and I sure appreciate the opportunity.
General, it's been a pleasure. We're out of time. We got to keep moving, sir.
All right, move on.
We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week. Minnesota's Governor Tim Walz, Annette Kuiper from the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, Jerry Hammer, who is the general manager of the Minnesota State Fair, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally my co-host and Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we take you to the Minneapolis VA Medical Center for the latest on COVID-19 and healthcare advancements for our veterans. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.